I'm speaking today with Kathy Cousins, who's got a brand new release on Resonance Records. It's called To the Ladies of Cool. And Kathy, how you doing today?
Hi, Angel. I'm so wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing marvelous. I've been listening to your CD and are thoroughly enjoying it here at 91.3 WESM. I've been playing it quite a bit. And how's it going out there? How are people reacting to the CD?
It's really been a mixed bag, but mostly wonderful. I mean, a mixed bag as far as song selection on radio. Every single song on that disc is in rotation right now, which is surprising to me because I figured people would get on one or two or maybe three songs, but all across the board, late night programmers are playing Don't Wait Up For Me and Nightbird. And then daytime programmers seem to be playing Free and Easy, Learning the Blues, All I Need Is You. Then you get some people that are playing Where Are You. It's interesting to me how every single song on that disc is getting aired at different times of the day or night. And that's exactly, I think, what I had somewhere in my subconscious when I started selecting songs. I think I was thinking about that on some fundamental level.
Well, you know, it does work that way because I'm the daytime guy, and I do Learning the Blues and Free and Easy, but I've been hitting Nightbird and All I Need Is You. And if it's a rainy day, you know, I'll hit Don't Wait Up For Me, you know.
I think it's the mood and the atmosphere and the weather that's going to predict how these songs are going to fall into place.
Well, let's talk about the concept. It seems like a concept album to me. Maybe you weren't thinking of it that way, but it's called To the Ladies of Cool, and it says on the cover, a love letter to Connor, O'Day, Christie, and London, of course, meaning Anita O'Day, June Christie, Chris Connor, and Julie London. So were you thinking of that when you were putting the songs together, or was that just happenstance?
Well, it's a little of both. I first had a show called The Ladies of Cool, a stage show, which is a multimedia show, and I was performing, and I still am performing, songs out of these women's various repertoires. And as I got deeper into performing this show, I started looking around for interesting material in addition to the songs that are tried and true, for instance, Julie London's Cry Me a River and Anita O'Day's Honeysuckle Rose and Sweet Georgia Brown and June Christie's Midnight Sun and Something Cool and Chris Connor's All About Ronnie. Those were already in the stage show, which, by the way, is a multimedia show with back screen presentation with historical photographs and factoids about these women, and in some cases, the composers that wrote for these women. And then as the show was being performed in various parts of the country, I started trying to up my own ante by finding material, lesser-known material. I started really researching V-discs and Armed Forces radio shows and LPs, and I started finding interesting songs that really nobody knew about that came from these women's repertoires. For instance, November Twilight out of Julie London's Calendar Girl LP, where every song was a different song of each month, and November Twilight was the November pick. I found Nightbird, written by Al Cohn and Kitty Malone for Chris Connor, and then within 6 months, Anita O'Day cut that song. So I started finding a correlation between these songs and these women that started fascinating me. Kissin' Bug was written by Billy Strayhorn and Rex Stewart, but this young 19-year-old girl from Detroit, Joya Sherrill, who was in the Ellington Band, wrote the lyrics for that tune. And I thought, okay, this is really great. June Christie cut Kissin' Bug, but this was a Strayhorn and Joya Sherrill and Rex Stewart composition. So once I had more material together, I started thinking about, is this a concept or not? And really, it's not a concept. It's, in my mind, This is a contemporary exploration of West Coast cool, celebrating the artistry of Anita O'Day, June Christie, Chris Connor, and Julie London, and the relationships that those four women had with the arrangers and the composers that defined that whole West Coast School of Cool movement that came out of the 1950s and 60s and originated in Los Angeles. And then the other thing that I found fascinating is O'Day, June Christie, and Chris Connor all sang in the Kenton Band, which was also part of that West Coast movement, mm-hmm. West Coast School movement. What I did not want to do was make a tribute record or photocopy any of the material these women were doing. I wanted it to be a contemporary exploration, which is why I hired Tamir Hendelman, and I worked with him very closely on the arrangements. Jazz audiences and jazz radio audiences and audiences in performing arts centers don't want to hear singers impersonating other singers. They want to hear quality songs with great arrangements and excellent musicianship. And obviously a singer who does not sound like someone else. And my interest in these women was in the repertoire and the songs that they recorded. So I was connected to the songs on a very deep level, and the songs are the link between those four ladies and myself.
I like the way they all sound, the whole contemporary aspect that you're speaking of. You guys were successful with that, as far as I'm concerned, especially with the arrangements. They sound truly fresh. They don't sound dated at all. You know, these songs sound contemporary to me.
I was trying to do something forward and retro simultaneously. I wanted to do fresh, contemporary, modern arrangements, and yet I wanted the overall record to have that old Blue Note prestige feel about it. And I think we accomplished it. I think we actually accomplished what I had in my mind when I set out to do this. What I will say is there is a song on the record, Hershey's Kisses. The song was originally called Hershey Bar. And what drove me to the song initially was Anita O'Day singing Four Brothers, which was a straight vocalese and scat tune. And as I was combing through Anita's discography, I found the song called Hershey Bar. And up to this point, I'd never heard the song. I zoned in on the title. Then I heard the tune and I flipped because it really reminded me of her rendition of Four Brothers. When I started digging a little deeper to see where it originated, I found out that Stan Getz in 1950 was looking for material to make his first record. And Johnny Mandel gave him this song, which was originally called Or Something to That Effect. Mm. And Stan Getz's record label said, let's change the title to Hershey Bar. So Stan Getz recorded it, and then within a couple of years, that's when Anita O'Day recorded it. And I wanted to put that song on the record. But, of course, I didn't want to do Anita O'Day's take. I'm trying to always be fresh and original. So I was flying home from Los Angeles back to my hometown, Detroit, and I had a martini on the airplane, and in 1 hour that song was written. I wrote lyrics for it, and we showed it to Johnny Mandel, and he loved it, and we changed the title to Hershey's Kisses.
Well, that's great. You got to hang out, speak a little bit with the guy who wrote all the music, huh?
I didn't personally speak to him, but the fellow that owns the record label, George Klabin, took the song, drove the song over to his home in Beverly Hills, California, played it for him, and Johnny liked it enough that he actually gave me an attribution for the record, and I'm thrilled about it. I mean, now I'm inclined to maybe do some lyric writing to some of Johnny's other. He's got incredible instrumentals.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, he's got quite a songbook.
Johnny Mandel, for those people that don't know him, wrote The Shadow of Your Smile. He wrote the theme from MASH, I believe.
Yeah.
He arranged for Barbara Streisand, Diana Krall. The list is endless. He is one of the prototypes of West Coast cool in the 1950s and 60s. So there you have it. Yeah. There's my Johnny Mandel tutorial.
Yeah, well, thank you. I needed that, too. You know that.
Well, you know, I try and be a little bit historically correct when I talk about these artists and the composers, because it's part of the stage show, and we've got photographs of all these various people and their composers and historical pictures of the gals themselves and 52nd Street and that whole time and place that go on this back screen behind the band as I'm singing. And I've even done a little interesting montage, and I'm happy to send it to you, Angel, and you can post it on the website, on the radio station website, mm-hmm. and people can see it. It's a very cool little 6-7 minute montage of all these interesting photographs.
That'd be
with
great.
Little pieces of my songs. What I do is I send this to the presenters so they can get an idea of what the stage show is going to look like with the back screen PowerPoint presentation. And it's a very cool little piece.
Did you specifically look for these tunes, or are these songs that you wanted to sing, or did you find these? Did they just fall out of the sky? Did somebody suggest them to you? How did you come to pick these 10 songs for your CD?
It was a 2-year research project, and as you know, Angel, my first two records are almost exclusively original material. The first CD that I ever made, All in a Dream's work, is all original, and then Mood Swings, which followed All in a Dream's work, 7 out of the 11 tracks are original. And I've always been a songwriter. I mean, prior to writing jazz compositions, I was writing R&B music, and still do to this day, and I've had songs placed in film and television and with other groups. So each song I approached as if I were writing it myself. I wanted to know, the lyric had to speak to me, the melody had to speak to me, what could I do with the tune to take it to the next level, how could I really get everything out of it for myself on a personal level, and also to sell it to the audience. Selling a song to an audience is key for me. It's not just about going in the studio, throwing an arrangement together, and singing it. I really have to get into the lyric and the melody, and I tear it apart and I analyze it, and I'm very pragmatic about it. None of the songs were suggested to me. What I did do, though, is I combed through record stores. I have LPs. I listen to Armed Forces radio broadcasts and V-discs, radio transcriptions, soundies. I looked and looked and looked. The song Free and Easy, this is a great story. Free and Easy came from a B-rated rock and roll movie in the 50s called Rock Pretty Baby. Sal Mineo was in that movie. And Henry Mancini wrote the song Free and Easy as an instrumental, and actually, the soundtrack in that movie was sung by the Modern Heirs, Alan Copeland, who was the lead singer in the Modern Heirs. And they were the sound for the made-up rock group in that movie called Johnny and the Ding-a-Lings.
Okay.
So you had West Coast cool musicians like Shelly Manne and Bud Shank playing on many of these soundtracks mm-hmm. for these faux rock and roll bands for these B-movies, which was a very common thing in the 1950s. That way, jazz musicians could sustain their careers in both rock and jazz. What happened was I stumbled on the song again when I was looking for material, and Bobby Troup was married to Julie London, and he was a crazy, wonderful band leader and arranger and songwriter, and he was always looking for material for his wife, Julie London. He wrote the lyric to Mancini's Free and Easy. Mm-hmm. So I found it once because I'm an old film noir, black and white, B-movie type connoisseur, and I heard the song, and when you listen to the soundtrack, it sounds like a Charlie Parker jazz original. But then when Bobby Troup wrote the lyric for Julie London, all of a sudden it's a whole new tune. So, I mean, that's how I found some of this material. Nightbird jumped out at me on a Chris Connor CD, and it's funny because Anita O'Day and Chris Connor cut this tune within a year of each other. Now, that would never happen today. People don't, but back then it was commonplace. And Nightbird, there were a number of reasons why I cut Nightbird and why I gravitated to it. The lyric, which was written by this songwriter named Kitty Malone, which wrote this one song and then disappeared back into society, never to be heard from again.
Wow.
I would like to have a contest. If anybody can find Kitty Malone, I'll give them a couple of CDs. We cannot find anything on Kitty Malone.
Wow.
I can't find her at ASCAP. I can't find her at BMI. I can't find this woman anywhere. But the lyric is about jazz birds that sing and stay up all night and are part of that whole 52nd Street vibe in New York.
Mm.
So I gravitated toward the lyric, and I thought, wow, I'll make this a quintet record and make it sound like it just came right out of 52nd Street. There's every song on the record has something that compelled me to the song. Those are just two instances.
What's your favorite?
Don't Wait Up For Me is a Charles DeForest composition. Charles DeForest was a cabaret singer in New York in the 1950s and 60s and wrote not a huge body of work, but he wrote a number of songs that Tony Bennett recorded, and I heard it on a Chris Connor disc that I was listening to sitting in my car while parked in front of a TJ Maxx on a Friday night at 8:30 in the evening, and I thought, whoa, why didn't I hear this one before when I heard this record? And I thought, I have to have this song. It's music noir. It's despair meets disillusion.
Mm.
I just fell in love with that song. It's probably, you know, every one of these songs I have a deep personal connection to. Don't Wait Up For Me is probably my favorite on the record.
Well, you know, we get a lot of CDs coming through here, but I really wanted to say that I really love the production on this, just the way it looks, just the way it was all done. I mean, it's the George Klabin produced stuff is always rich.
Well, I'm taking credit for some of that. I produced the record. I mixed the record. I had my hand on all of the arrangements, a heavy hand. I knew exactly what I wanted to do. George was the executive producer. He really stayed out of the way, and he gave me carte blanche from picking the songs to the arrangements to hiring the musicians to cutting the tunes. He had great suggestions. He basically left the studio when I cut my vocals, because I'm a vocalist and I'm a background singer, and I'm a session gal from back in the day. And he completely gave me free rein, and I cut vocals a particular way, and you know, I just wanted to do my thing. And then I brought him in to hear the final takes on everything I wanted to do, and he signed off on everything. So he really let me have free rein, and I'm very grateful to that. And, you know, George is like a modern-day Norman Granz or Bob Teal, and he's really trying to do what those guys did in the 1950s. And I love that about George.
It's getting picked up everywhere. A lot of people are playing the CD, right?
Yes, and hopefully more will. And if your listeners want to take a look a little bit at me, they should go to KathyCousins.com, KathyKousins.com, and they can, you know, they can purchase the record directly off of my website. It's available on iTunes, Amazon. Of course, if they purchase it from me, they get a hand-signed autograph and a money-back guarantee, and then I can stay in touch with some of those folks. And I love to hear from people that are listening to the record and want to comment about it or have questions about it. And I'm Facebook friending people all the time, and they are with me in connection to this record. So, yes, by all means, I hope more people find the record and find me, and that they enjoy hearing the music, because I really created the record to share my vision with people out there that would have that would share an affinity for what I'm trying to do.
Well, you've got a fan here, you know, and I'll do my part on this end, and hopefully I could get some folks to lend an ear to what you're trying to do, Kathy. And I want to thank you for talking to me today. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much for being a supporter of all of my records. And I really hope that we get to meet and our paths cross again down the road.
That'd be great.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye, Kathy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.